Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 53 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I'm joined by a special guest, Caden Stewart, the first ever guest on for two episodes of the podcast. Comes at episode 53. Caden, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fantabulous, Jack Dobbins. How about you?
Fantabulous? That's the word of choice?
It's the same one I used a year ago. It's the same one I'll continue to use.
Did you like actually like look at that?
No, I always say it whenever someone asks me how I'm doing. I learned it from
Really?
a drunk guy writing Terminal Market.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Today is going to be the fantasy football episode for the 2025-2026 season. We'll be going top fives for positional groups. Of course, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end. And we'll also go over some sleepers, some extra little insight bits. We have to start where we are concerned with, right? Quarterbacks, right? Top five quarterbacks. Let's hear your list off, Rep.
All right, we'll go 5-1. Number five, I have Jaden Daniels. Obviously coming in only 1 year, hasn't proved himself fully yet, but the last year was just so good, I can't not have him in the top five. I'll get yelled at by too many Commanders fans.
Picked him up off the wire. That was a pretty good pickup last year.
It was a very good
idea. I didn't win, but but I picked him up. That counts for something.
I mean, someone had to win the league off that. It's definitely a league-worthy play. Well, I will say, shout out Bella Sola. She's going to be mad at me if I didn't have Daniels in my top five as a Commanders fan. So if she's listening, you should be happy about that.
That's great.
Joe Burrow coming in at number four for obvious reasons. Led the league in passing yard last year, was just dominant overall. Jalen Hurts at number three. Maybe a little bit of Eagles bias there, but he's been a consistent top five fantasy quarterback. He was QB1, I believe, 2 years ago in 2022 with his MVP season. So I think maybe he gets back to that level again this year.
I don't think it's a bad pick at all. I think it's totally reasonable.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson comes in number two. Again, great rushing quarterback, but MVP last year. And deserving MVP, I might add, Josh Allen comes in number one.
You always like getting on my nerves about that, don't you?
I do.
No. It was Lamar's MVP. It was stolen from him. But to be fair, he stole an MVP a couple of years earlier that shouldn't have been his, so they even out. But
fair enough.
But I think it's a good list. I mean, when you look at the list, four of the five are generally considered to be dual-threat quarterbacks. The only one that's not is Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow is arguably the biggest passing threat in the entire league. I think you might be able to throw, like, maybe Mahomes in there, maybe Mayfield. But, like, I think it's a top five that's pretty sturdy. And, you know, just big dual-threat opportunity. A lot of points there, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think I could see Mahomes being up there. And I will say, mind you, this isn't my actual quarterback ranking. Mahomes is still elite in my mind as far as actual quarterbacks. But if you're talking about fantasy value, those are your top five.
And absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of gunslingers. You got Goff, you got Mayfield, you got Herbert, you got Prescott. But those guys don't score as much as the dual threats. That's why you see up at the top, you got Allen and Lamar and Hurts and Daniels. And another thing with that top five is they try to keep interceptions low. They, when you look at the back end of the list, you get the Herberts and the Jordan Loves. I mean, great quarterbacks just have higher interception totals. I think that's going to be a big thing in the point ratio from the top five to the, you know, middle pack.
Yeah, this is extremely true. But I was like, moving on to the running backs, you need to have an agreement there on quarterbacks. With running backs, it gets a little bit interesting.
I
got Saquon coming in at my five solely because I'm not sure he's going to have the same. He's not going to be able to have the same caliber seasons he had last year. That's
Absolutely.
Almost a widely known fact. The 2,000 yards is just not, I would say not possible, but it's basically never happened. Of the top 15 running back seasons of all time, as far as single season yardage totals, just twice has that same season come out with a 1,400 plus yard season the following year, and both are by Barry Sanders.
Wow.
So, I do not see Saquon doing that again, much as I may hope so, again, as an Eagles fan.
I will say, though, Saquon's probably one of the closest running backs to Barry Sanders ever. I will just say in terms of play style.
Yeah, play style.
Absolutely. But, of course, you know, Barry was like a demigod.
True. So I have Bijan coming in at my four. Not because I don't like Bijan, just because I'm not sure how Michael Penix Jr. is going to play out there. I mean, he seemed to get Robinson involved a lot. But then again, it was more the Drake London show those last 2 weeks. So we'll see what plays out there.
You also just don't like Bijan.
No, I like Bijan. I wasn't
really
high on his rookie year. I wasn't high on
him. I know. I just keep running back to that bit.
I'll get back to that. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Derrick Henry comes in at my three just for obvious reasons. Dude's a tank.
Yeah, makes sense.
He, He's also one of the guys that had a consistent year after ever having I believe, a 1700 yard year a few years ago. He followed up with about 1400, 1500 yards, but he was just shy of making that Barry Sanders mark, where Sanders had the 2 good years. Henry could have had a third. He was just off. So he's
Gotcha.
proven him. Number two has just gotten me a few clicks so far, a few responses over Snapchat.
Oh,
I had the
I'm ready for it. I'm staring at it right now. I'm like, oh boy.
Christian McCaffrey is in my two spot. People
Woo-hoo-hoo,
forget if
man.
this dude is not hurt, he is the best fantasy player in a PPR league. At least he was 2 years ago when he was still fully healthy. I think he probably takes a half a step back just because of how good number one has been over his first few years in the league. But McCaffrey is still an undeniable talent. I've seen him fall out of the first round in some leagues, whether that being an 8 to 10 man league rather than a 12 man league. But still, McCaffrey's an elite talent. If you get him in the fourth or fifth pick, even that's a great value pick. And then number one, obviously, he hasn't been named yet. He's got to be on the top five, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Obviously. I mean, the question is, though, do you think Monty will take a hit with that?
I think Monty would take a hit if it weren't for the fact that the Lions have a way, way harder schedule this year than they did last year. I'll also touch on this later with my wide receiver picks, but the Lions offense just has so many guys that can eat and will eat, and that they've still been able to manufacture top tier talents. Like Gibbs has been a top three running back the last 2 seasons. St. Brown's a consistent stud as a wide receiver one. They had Sam Laporta set rookie records for tight ends. Jameson Williams has been no slouch as a wide receiver two. Montgomery's been a consistent running back too, and Goff's always been pretty good as well. This team is perfectly built to have all these guys get fed. So it just comes down to how much does give do Gibbs and Montgomery get fed. But I think Gibbs gets fed pretty well.
I just have to say, Christian Yelich just homered again. I am losing my mind. He
I
is
saw you looking down.
insane. But anyway, do you think that Johnson leaving is going to impact the Lions offense like that? Or do you think the guys are going to remain pretty in the same ballpark?
It'll definitely impact it. I don't think it'll be a negative impact. I think this team is just too skilled for it to really change.
Absolutely.
So I think it could change the scheme of things. Like maybe you see Williams get some more reps, Laporta falls off a little bit, maybe the wide receiver threes or the co-wide receiver threes. I'm not even sure who's their standalone wide out, third wide out, if they even have one anymore. But that may change a little bit, but St. Brown's gonna get fed, Gibbs is gonna get his carries if the Lions are winning games. Montgomery could be more of a red zone back, but it's not gonna deteriorate anyone's like bottom line.
Absolutely. I think the running back list, there's so many other guys you could throw in there. You could throw in Achane, you could throw in, any of the other amazing running back, I think, is a stacked position. You're going to see a lot of it at the top of the draft with Saquon, people drafting him in the one. And then you got Bijan. And I think it's going to be a very running back heavy first round. Wide receivers will shift more towards the second.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And getting to those wide receivers,
Exactly.
our top five there. AJ Brown coming in number five. That's because I think the Eagles passed the ball a lot more this year. They had a lot of blowout wins, like the Niners, just like the Lions had last year, not the Niners, correction there. But with Saquon and Gibbs, they're going to see a lesser carry total in the fourth quarter. I just think Gibbs is the better receiving back. So he's going to be able to make up for that with check down passes and passes over the middle. So that's why I'm not worried about him. Barkley's going to take a bit of a hit because the Eagles aren't going to be winning as many games this year, especially with the lessened defense. So there's going to be a lot more passes to go around. And AJ Brown, here's my first tidbit. Brown and Malik Nabers were the only two players in the NFL last year to have a 34% or more higher target share, or
Wow.
34% or more target share among
Brown
this.
was that high, even with Smitty?
AJ Brown was 34.4% of the Eagles' passes when he was on the field, and Malik Nabers was 34.9%. No one else
Holy
is above
cow.
me.
I didn't even think that anyone would be close to Malik. Or actually, I lied. I thought that Brian Thomas would be close too. But
Thomas
wow.
was up there.
It's that close between Brown and Neighbors?
Yep. And
Sheesh.
that is shocking to me. But Brown has, again, proven that he's an elite talent. I think he's top five, especially this year in a PPR league.
You got Neighbors at seven though, so I'm happy. I'm content with Neighbors at seven. That is totally fine by me.
There were just so many stars in last year's class. I believe someone has to fall off. I don't think Nix, Daniels, Thomas, and Nabers are all going to stay that same level this year. So I'm a little hesitant to put any of them at super high elite tier.
No, I think it's a great spot for him.
Yeah. Then you have Justin Jefferson at my four. I still think he's the most talented receiver in the league, but McCarthy, I have not seen him at all. Obviously, he hasn't played a snap in the NFL. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm not drafting Justin Jefferson in my first round this year. Not
Yep.
because I'm scared of it, but because there's way better options.
I agree.
Amon-Ra St. Brown coming at my three. I alluded to that before. There's going to be a lot more passes to go around in Detroit. They have 14 games this season against playoff teams from last year. They are not going to be winning games by as much as they did last year. They're not going to be winning as many games, bottom line, as they were last year. They lost too much in the coaching staff. They lost too much in the defense to be as dominant. So St. Brown's going to be, again, the number one pass catcher there. And I believe he was wide receiver five or six last season, even when he was getting pulled from games early. So the floor is even higher and the ceiling is even higher
I
there.
gotta say though, it's very interesting seeing him in the three with the other guy in the two.
This is true. CeeDee Lamb comes in the number two spot. His talent's undeniable at this point. I was in doubt for a little bit, but I can't doubt it anymore. The dude's insane. Dak Prescott's back for the full season, and Lamb didn't really take much of a hit even when he was out. It took a few weeks for him to get used to it, but then after those few weeks came by, and then back half of the season, he started really turning it up again. But if Dak's healthy for the full season, CeeDee Lamb is a bona fide top half of the first round pick. And the number one, obviously,
Who else would it be? Like, who else would it be? Who have we not listed yet?
he had almost 100 fantasy points more than this wide receiver two last season. Mind you, he only had about 400 points himself. That was how dominant he was. He can regress almost 25% of his total fantasy value,
And
which I
still be
believe
in the
he's
slot.
Yeah, he'd still be number one. Like, that is ridiculous.
If you can't tell who it is yet, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Man, like he was so dominant last year. He was something else.
Yeah. Not much controversy with that list, I would
Not at
think.
all. Not in the slightest.
All right, then we'll go to the tight ends. Not much controversy here. Maybe a few positions jostling back and forth. David Njoku, my five. And he's a guy who, again, I'll
Trusting the
talk.
Browns quarterback situation a lot.
It's not even about that. I'm looking at the history he has with each quarterback. And Joe Flacco, when he was the quarterback for the Browns, that hot stretch they had, and Njoku was their tight end at the same time. Njoku was the tight end four for those weeks.
Wow.
Flacco loves to find David Njoku. He loves to find his tight end in general. So I'm confident in Njoku to continue that stretch as long as Flacco is the quarterback. I don't think Gabriel's going to be the starter. I haven't seen much about him. Sanders had a good preseason game, but he's not going to be the starter to begin the year just because he's the QB4 on the depth chart right now. He's not going to move up that fast. Pickett has an argument, but even then, he was still finding Capoterra and Goddard in the games where he had to come in. So I think that Njoku would still have a consistent target share there. His floor is pretty high. That's why I have him as five.
Absolutely.
All the ceiling being super high. So the number four, I have Travis Kelce. I'm just more of a Kelce fan who doesn't want to believe he's falling off just yet. He's not the tight end one anymore. I've already accepted that fact. But I mean, the Chiefs offense is going to get fed. Mahomes has just used too much devil magic to fall off completely. Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. Just comes down to how long. I think it'll be 3 games, seeing how Addison only got suspended for 3 games. So we'll see how that turns out. But if Rice has gone from a long period of time, then Kelsey's going to get fed a ton. Same with Xavier Worthy. But for now, let's Kelsey. That's tight end four. I think it's a very fair pick for them.
I have to say, though, in my opinion, I think there's a massive gap between Kelce and tight end three and the remaining two. I think it's a huge gap between four and three.
That'd be a very fair point. I think the order is pretty solid as well.
I
Maybe.
think you put any of them one, any of the top three, I think you could throw into the one slot, and I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah. So I'll go rapid fire. Brock Bowers, three. Trey McBride, two. And George Kittle, number one. My tidbit about the tight end list. Trey McBride didn't have a tight end until, I believe, week 14, or didn't have a touchdown until week 14 of last season. Finished with just two on the season. He was still the NFL leader in red zone targets for tight ends.
It's crazy. It's
Which is
crazy.
absolutely absurd. Like, that is insane regression the opposite way coming this season. Dude is going to get fed a ton. He's going to score a lot more points.
I genuinely think all three of those guys are in the same ballpark. And if I have a pick and I'm debating between the three of them, I'm literally closing my eyes and hitting the
Yeah, that would be a very sound way to go about this pick.
button.
I think he'll have a slight edge, but you're not going to lose your league if you draft Brock Bowers ahead of him.
Not at all.
So
Especially with Geno.
this is true.
Especially
No.
with Geno. Because now he actually is a competent quarterback. He's not getting Aiden O'Connell throwing him anymore.
Very true. He is going to favor the tight end a lot more, as we saw with Noah Fant last year in Seattle.
Boom.
So
Whew.
those are the top five lists. Want to go into the sleepers now? Some more
I'm
value.
down. I'm down.
All right,
But
I'll just see where.
assuming we're going back to the quarterback list, I'm already prepared to yell at you.
I am prepared to be yelled at because I am I'm folding my notebook over at the moment.
Uh-oh. He's
I'm
in
getting into it.
business.
Your
He's
two
ready.
sleepers for this season: Jared Goff, which I think you was not the one you were worried about. Justin Fields. I know you're trying to make.
No,
Yeah,
stop it.
this is an
Stop.
extremely loud correct buzzer by Justin Fields.
Extremely
So
loud, incorrect buzzer. Have you seen his training camp?
Your Honor, let me preach.
Your Honor, he
Justin Fields.
looks terrible.
Yeah, the name sounds bad, and that is where fantasy leagues are won, my friends.
No, at training camp, he looks horrendous.
I disagree.
He's like, he had this one play where it was snapped, and I think it was Breece was just to his right. He gets a snap and he just throws it into the sideline. He doesn't even hit Breece. He just throws it into the sideline with Breece right there.
I mean, every quarterback has their bad plays during training camp. That's
Yeah,
what
but
training.
like I have yet to see a good Justin Fields play his entire camp, and I've seen like at least 20 bad ones.
Well, I'll get into the factual stuff that I've seen on the NFL field, if you don't mind.
Wow.
87 over his six 2024 starts. I don't know why he got benched for Justin Field for Russell Wilson. I'm being quite honest. I would have left Fields in. He had a very solid three
Because
games
the
before getting
Steelers
benched.
saw that he's not that good.
No, the Steelers saw he was going to finish the team above 9-8, like they do every single season. Anyway, after that, he finished QB6 and QB12 in his last two full seasons with Chicago, and he now joins a Jets offensive line and Jets offensive group that is a lot better than the Chicago teams he had a few years ago. His one Bears offensive line ranked 31st of 32 teams. I believe that was the 2021 season. So I'm confident that Fields is going to have a much better ability to move around the pocket and get out for some big rushing plays. I don't think Breece Hall is going to have as good of a season just because the rushing carry percentage is going to go more in Justin Fields' favor this year than Breece Hall. But if Hall can make up for that through the air, I wouldn't be as worried about him. But I'm still skeptical about Hall. I'm not as low on Garrett Wilson as I am many other people. But Fields as a whole is going to be a lot higher than his current ADP. I currently have him as my quarterback 9 on the board, and he's being drafted as far back as the quarterback 16. Meaning he's going undrafted in some smaller leagues, like an eight-man league.
Sheesh.
So I'm super high on Justin Fields. I very strongly believe he's going to be a top sleeper this year.
I will say a guy who I think you're underrating on your list is Stafford. I mean, sure, he's ancient. He's literally like a fossil. However, he's throwing to Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. I don't care that, his interceptions are a pretty solid number. I don't care that, he's not a rushing quarterback. The dude can throw the ball, especially with, two top 15 wideouts. I just think the 20th is a bit low, especially below guys like Cam Ward and CJ Stroud, who's currently throwing to like toothpicks.
Very true. But Stroud, I've seen, has been able to. What's the term I'm looking for? He's been able to have multiple top receivers on his team and
He's
be
been able to
able to.
make do with what he has.
No, I mean, like, he had Collins, Diggs, and Dell on his team, and they were all fantasy options. I'm sure Davante Adams, who's on his now third team in 4 years, maybe a little past his prime as well, can really get to that same level that these Diggs and Collins were. And I love Davante Adams. I don't think he's going to be a bad player this year. But Stafford's past his prime. He's going to retire shortly.
That's true.
Tyron Williams is one of the highest touchdown pr producers of any player.
I'm just saying below, I think below Cam Ward is something.
I'm just super high on Cam Ward. He's my offensive rookie of the year pick.
I love Cam, but I could not name you a single Titans receiver right now with Westbrook-Ikhine gone.
I mean, they have Ridley. I think Okonkwo can take a step up with a rookie
Oh,
quarterback.
back to this Chigakonkwo thing
We don't
from
talk about
2 years
Chigokonkwo.
ago.
We don't talk about Chigokonkwo. My head was in the right spot. Just the
My goodness,
time.
man.
Anyway, touch on Goff real quick. I think we can both agree he's a little undervalued in fantasy football this year. QB6, QB7, and QB10 over the last 3 seasons, being drafted as QB15 this year. And
Sheesh.
again, their only issue is they have a harder schedule, which might mean a pick or two more over the course of the season.
And
Maybe.
Ben
And
Johnson.
Ben Johnson's gone. But again, that much would result in more passes because I would say there's a better chance that the Lions' offense regresses because of that then actually improves, which means the Lions are trailing further along in games.
Yeah, not a bad take.
So I highly, again, I'm not as high. Actually, I'm higher on Goff than I am on Fields. I misspoke there. I have Goff as my quarterback 7 this year. So that means you can
Wow.
get guys who are projected as quarterback 15 and 16 in according to Fantasy Pros this season as your QB 7 and 9 as far as who's on your roster this year.
I am
That's
very curious. I wanted to ask you about this. Why do you have, I know you could probably say they're interchangeable, Goff above Mayfield? I just want to hear your reasoning on that.
I mean, honestly, it's because they're interchangeable. I
That's what
was high.
I was gonna say. Like I'm not even against it. I was just curious because Mayfield had less picks, more touch. Did he, I don't even know if he had more touchdowns, but like he
I'm
was
much of a
much
lot
more efficient, at least.
more efficient. Yes, I just trust the Lions' offense more. I'll put it
Okay,
that way.
that's fair. I
So
was
I
just
go
curious on
higher.
that. I wasn't like yelling you. I was just curious. All
Not
right.
running back.
Besides the horrific Justin Fields take, I think the rest of it wasn't too bad.
Now the running backs. I'll mention CMC because it needs a second mention. Don't be worried about the injuries. Like, for the love of God, if you are worried about getting CMC at like the 8th pick, just press the button, dude. Make the pick. I'm
Just
telling
do
you, you
it.
got hurt about it. He said, just do it. Last year was extremely annoying. I was one of the guys that was like, oh yeah, he'll be fine by week one. And then week one comes along, it's 7:15 before an 8:15 game, and he's like, yeah, I'm just not gonna play at all this season. It's like, well, what the hell are you talking about, dude? But that's not reflecting on him as a player as far as his skill. That's just reflecting on the medical staff there completely underestimating the injury and just a bunch of other stuff that shouldn't was reported wrong, shouldn't have happened. But him as a player is still a bona fide elite talent and just led the
Absolutely.
NFL in total touchdowns from scrimmage 2 years ago. Like, come on now. And I will say, so did Raheem Mostert, but we're not talking about Mostert right now. So my highlight for the running back position, Jonathan Taylor, second in touches per game last season, even while being banged up for more than half the year, having to share carries for with Deion Jackson, I think, for a little bit. That team was just dumpster fire. But
Yeah.
they changed the personnel around. Their offense is better this year. Taylor comes into the season healthy. He's going to be their stud running back one again. And if you look at his last 3 weeks, this is when he finally was able to evolve back into that running back one role and where he had a solid, undeniable position in the offense. He averaged 31 points per game in PPR leagues.
Whew.
So that's not sustainable, obviously, but even 10 points less is running back one quality.
I have to say that something people are overlooking when it comes to Taylor is usually people don't think about how tight ends have impact in the run game. Tyler Warren is one heck of a blocker. I'm just saying, I think that's a big thing to look at for JT.
Yeah, this is also very true. And offensive line, this has also improved very much for Indianapolis. Last season, Jonathan Taylor was 6th in yards before contact, meaning this line is opening up gaping holes for him at the line of scrimmage, and he's hitting them very well. So I think Taylor's going to have a good season. He's being drafted as the running back 10, so maybe not the best sleeper that you guys were hoping for, but I have him coming in as RB6. And if
That's
the
a
Madden,
jump. That'll play.
yeah, and if Madden curse hits Barkley as hard as I think he will, I can see Taylor moving into the top 5.
Madden curse.
The Madden curse was real. I don't care what anyone
N
says. The Madden
not
curse is
not
real.
last
The
year it
most
wasn't.
I've seen it
Not
go
last year
down.
it wasn't. Josh
McCaffrey was
Allen.
Madden.
Josh Allen. No, Josh Allen was last year meaning MVP, 2 years ago meaning Madden.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
But like other than that, yeah, it's real.
Now I'll use the term landmine to decide, or not to decide, to describe Ashton DT this year.
I will say I've seen people taking like did you see I forget who it was someone from like ESPN drafted Jenty fifth in their
Concerning I see
fantasy
that,
draft.
yes, I have.
I was like, sorry, bro, huh?
Yes, I saw that as I said it to you, yes. But
Like
yeah, that's
terrible, terrible O-line rookie. I mean, keep
terrible.
reading off the reasons why taking Jenty at the
Reason
fifth
number
pick
one,
is a
he
terrible
is a
idea.
Las Vegas Raider.
Yeah.
It's a very clear running reason number one. Number two is because he's a rookie running back. I've never been high on rookie running backs. Prove to me you can do it for 1 year, and then I'll be your biggest fan. But not the first year, not in a new system like that. Just no. And mind you, this is PPR scoring. Receiving running backs are higher valued. GT only averaged one reception per game last season. Ironically, he's being drafted higher in PPR leagues than he is in non-PPR. He's currently being drafted at the 5.5 as far as RB running backs go in PPR and 5.7 in non-PPR, which makes no
No
sense.
way.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to
That is
me.
weird.
It's basically a microscopic difference, but at the same time, it's why is the microscopic difference in favor of the one side? But
Wow.
regardless, I always said the same exact thing about Bijan Robinson in 2023. I wasn't high on him the first year, and he finished running back 16. So I know what I'm talking about. And
You're
mind you,
right.
he had more hype than Ashton Jeanne that season. He was being drafted as like running back 2 and 3 in some of my leagues. It was absurd.
Yeah, not wrong.
And then obviously I love Bijan this year by running back 4. I'm extremely happy with that. I'm confident he's going to finish the running back 4. And I hope that Jeanne proves me wrong in the future. I hope he can be Vegas's new savior and second coming. He's, we won't be that this year. That
I
much.
guess we'll see.
Yes, we will see indeed.
Dun dun dun.
I'm going to keep my notebook folded, but now I got to change the pages.
Oh man.
I didn't think about
Change
that.
pages to talk about a little guy named Tyreek Hill.
Well, Tyreek Hill is a robust player. I want to focus on two more guys for a sleeper pick. I can mention Tyreek Hill, though. He's a guy where if Tua plays the full season, which again, big risk, but if he plays the full season, Tyreek Hill is your top five wide receiver. Like, this dude is a demon. He had two incredible seasons back to back 2 years ago where he combined for, I believe, 3,500 total yards. Like, that's just ridiculous. So if he's at his peak, he is undeniable top tier talent. But I can see the time running out. So I'll go a little bit quicker for the wide receivers. Khalil Shakir and Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is probably the
Khalil
one.
especially to me.
Yeah. I think a lot of you who just heard that may have heard of Khalil Shakir and been like, what? So I'll restate that. Khalil Shakir and then Mike Evans was the guy who you probably didn't hear after you said what. So Mike Evans, definition of consistent. 11 straight 1,000 yard seasons, has never had less than 1,000 yards. He's 1 year away from breaking Jerry Rice's record for most consecutive 1,000 yard seasons. He will do that this year. I am very confident in that. I think Baker is finally back, and Evans is going to be healthy for most of this season. He had 1,004 yards last year in just 14 games. So as long as he stays healthy, he's going to smash that number.
To be fair, though, New Orleans did give him the 1,000 yards like on a platter, to be fair, in
Well,
that last game.
at the very end, they did.
Yeah.
It still wasn't even a crazy game by him. Like, it wasn't even 100 yards.
Yeah.
But you have a good point there. But my point remains, if he plays 17 games, he's going for 1,200 yards.
Absolutely.
That's all you really need.
Not a doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Not much to talk about there. With Khalil Shakir, there is. For whatever reason, this dude just does not get the respect that he deserves. He was 29th in target share last year, which may not seem great, but considering where he's being drafted, that is pretty good value. He was 14th in yards after catch per reception, 15th in total broken tackles, which is amazing for someone of his stature. He's being drafted as the wide receiver 44 and as far back as wide receiver 50 in some leagues. My brothers in Christ, he is the wide receiver 1 for the reigning MVP. He is my wide receiver 33. How are you drafting the wide receiver 1 for an MVP winning quarterback as a guy who's maybe not even your top 4 wide receivers on your team in a 12-man league, wide
It's
receiver 50?
crazy. It's insane.
Like, I will die on the Khalil Shakir mountain. So, I mean, maybe I'm a little higher on him than he should be, but he's not going to be a bust. Like, if you draft him as a wide receiver 33, you're going to be happy with what you get. And his ceiling was extremely high, but his floor was just his floor, and then one of my tight end sleepers' floors, which we'll get to in a second. I value the floor more than I value the ceiling, if I'm being quite honest. I want a guy who I know is going to give me each week. Shakir is going to give me 15, 20 points every now and then, but he never gave me less than 10, I think, till the midway point of the season in the PPR league. And if you have a consistent 10 to 15 point guy as one of your starting wide receivers, then you're winning games, without a doubt in my mind. So if you have Khalil Shakir on your team, you should be doing pretty well this year. And I alluded to it before, another guy with a high ceiling and somewhat high ceiling, but higher floor, Zach Ertz is my tight end sleeper this year. Again, still have no idea why he's being disrespected. Came in last year with a rookie quarterback, finished as a tight end 12. I think maybe he was tight end 10. It was one spot off where I have him. I have him ranked as tight end 11 this year, where he's being drafted as tight end 18. So,
18. Any like
yes.
weird names that are being taken above him that you like have off the top of your head right now?
Colston Loveland in a
Being
tight
drafted above him?
yes,
No
in a tight
way.
end by committee team
The
with
guy who's not even the number one tight end on his team?
yes, and this is a topic I wanted to touch on. Tight end by committee teams do not work for fantasy. You have two this year that are especially notable: Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth in Pittsburgh, Colson Loveland and Cole Kmet in Chicago. Neither one of those teams has a top-tier quarterback, at least anymore with Aaron Rodgers. Williams could always prove something, but I don't think he's going to be anything special, especially this year. But neither one of those quarterbacks has enough talent anymore to provide for two tight ends. I don't think either one of those teams is going to have a top 20 tight end, if I'm being quite honest. I could see Loveland maybe cracking the top 20, same with Jonnu Smith, but there's no way either one of those teams has to break the top 20.
No way.
So Ertz, I like getting off the negative there with the two tight end systems. He had the same amount of games last season with less than 5 points than he had with 15 plus points.
Boom.
And if you're getting
That's all
15
you want from
points
a tight
per
end.
game,
That's what you want from a tight end.
yeah, even a 10-point game from a tight end is very solid. And if you don't get a Kelce, Kittle, or I just say not Kelce anymore because he's had a few busts.
McBride and Bowers
Yeah, if you don't
and
get
Kittle, those three.
Kittle, McBride, or Bowers, if you're still getting 10 points out of your tight end position, that's very
That's a
good.
win.
Yes. And he's going undrafted in the majority of 8-man leagues.
Holy cow.
If you're in a 12-man league, he might even still be going undrafted as a tight end 18. I'm not big on getting a backup tight end because I honestly like streaming tight ends more. I started to grow into that over the last few years. But Ertz is honestly a guy where you could get in like the 13th, 14th round, and he can be a season-long starter.
Absolutely.
I mean, it would be a somewhat weak spot because it'd be a back end tight end one, but you're not losing your lead because of that. And if you get him late, and if you get Ertz in 13,
The
14,
upside's insane.
your upside is insane. And looking at Bowers and McBride's ADP, Brock Bowers is being drafted 18th overall in the average league. You are spending a high second round pick on a guy
Jeez.
who's going to be very good, but you can get so many better players at that position. And then McBride's going 27th. Kittle at 38th, I honestly like. That's good value for him. Then you go Kelce drafted 62nd overall. David Njoku at 84th is also not a bad pick at all. But Zach Ertz is going 148th overall.
But I think Kelce at 62nd isn't bad either.
Yeah, Kelce at 62nd is not
Just
terrible.
because, actually, I forgot that they still have Worthy.
They have
He's,
Worthy
yeah,
and they have
his targets are never going back to what they were.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
That
But
stinks.
I always like Kelce. If you get Kelce in, what would that be, the fourth round in a 10-man league or fifth round in a 10-man league? That's still good value. But you shouldn't complain with any of those guys I just mentioned. It all comes down to value, to summarize the episode. You
Yeah.
can, even as long as you're not getting a guy who I call a landmine, like an Ashton Jeantie, or one of those players who is just completely overvalued, if you get them in the right spot, they're going to be fine. It's just they're reaching. Like so many people get so high on so many different players, especially with Barkley this year. I know a lot of Eagles fans want to draft him number one overall. Don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
However, before the episode ends, one thing. If you have that number one overall pick, Kyle Pitts is right there.
Pitts is right there. I saw him.
It's finally his year. He's gonna break out. Draft him again.
I did a mock draft a few hours ago to prepare for the episode. And when I kid you not, it was like a normal pick. Like he went in the fifth round. I still saw it. And in my head went, he's going that high because of all the memes I've seen. Like I just assumed he was going super high. But now
Draft him again. He will finally break out. It will happen.
he had a 50-yard touchdown. He had a 50-yard touchdown this year. Did he fumble at the one? He did fumble at the one, but he got it right back. He got it back in the end zone. He scored the 50-yard touchdown.
Penix said he'll be getting a lot of receptions this year. Do you trust him?
They got me so good with that 2 years ago. I was like, Kyle Pitts is going to be the next Travis Kelce. I'm like, hell yeah, bro.
Dude, it's so funny. It's my entire TikTok feed is just draft Kyle Pitts. It's a great idea.
It is an absolutely amazing idea.
Well, that's gonna do it, I guess, right?
Yep.
If you're gonna take anything from the
Everyone's
episode, draft Kyle Pitts with your first round pick. That's gonna be it here. Episode 53 of the Playoff Push Podcast. That's your fantasy outlook for the 2025-2026 NFL season. Caden, any final words?
Not many. Thanks for having me on. Be sure to check out my rankings. They're on katestarters.com. They'll be there till about week two or
With
three.
one S, it's
Yes.
not Cade Starters, it is Cade Starters.
CADE starters.com. The ranking should be up until about week two or week three of the season because what should be legally, but it's not a law yet. I will make it a law when I become president. But it will be a law when I become president that you cannot start a fantasy league after week three of the season. It should
Good
not be
idea.
allowed. So my rankings will be taken down after week three. So
You
make sure you
shouldn't be
get.
able to make one after week two.
This is valid. This is not ridiculous to say that.
That's gonna do it here. Episode 53 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a great rest of your night.